Good morning, everyone. I'm Haibo from Shanghai Jiao Tong University. So I'm going to show you why your Army apps are dangerous and how we provide a solution to thwarting privacy leakage. So this is a joint work between Shanghai Jiao Tong University and the University of Texas at Dallas. I would wish my student Jin could present the talk, but he has already graduated and was not able to come for family reason. First, I will show you that modern smartphones using provide IME apps to improve the experience of user phone interaction. So currently, third-party IME apps are pervasively used, just like a survey done by Winnie. This can be evidenced by thousands of such IME apps available for download in major markets like Google Play. So actually, several such IME apps have been installed hundreds of millions of times. A report from China IT Research Center also indicated that at least 68% of smartphones in China using third-party IME apps. So actually, IME apps is actually one of the most dangerous apps. The reason is that it can touch all your input before passing the input to other client apps. So it is essentially a keylog, right? Actually, you might have ignored that the warning generated by Android, which says that an IME app may be able to collect all the text you tap, including the password and the credit card number. Even worse, an IME app not only see the input a user taps, but also may collect and send this input out to the cloud through a network. There are actually good reasons why an IME app has a cloud server to store and transfer users' input. First, it may be lead to generate personal dictionaries such that the dictionary could be used across device. Second, many IME apps usually have functionalities called cloud input, by which the cloud server using its massive data to improve user speed or the accuracy. So the many IME apps, especially those provided by major search engines like Google and Baidu, have a feature called the search mediation. So it intercepts users' input and returns some search results back to the user. So actually, this threat is real. One of the best third-party Android mobile keyboard, which is called SwiftKey, is shown to be turned into a keylog. Very interesting that recently the Japanese government warns its employers not using Baidu IME app due to being suspicious of spying on user. A very famous hacking site, Wuyun, also disclosed a version of the famous IME app, Sogo, which has been downloaded hundreds of millions of times, may lead to leakage of large number of user-sensitive information. So an intuitive approach would be using some analysis tool like tenant tracking to detect and stop leaking of user-sensitive information. However, while such approach is shown to be effective in many user scenarios, there are still several issues in preventing it from being using effective for third-party IME apps. First, there are plenty of closed-sourced native binary code, including some unknown proprietary protocols and code, and also some code are encrypted, and the encryption key is unknown. Actually, we analyzed that the IME app I just mentioned, the Sogo IME app, contains around 1.4 megabyte binary code, and it mainly uses the binary code to implement its main functionalities. And compared to the bytecode size, the bytecode size is only around 2.5 megabytes. It should be noted that the bytecode size is much more compact than the bytecode size. Also, Army apps tend to use a lot of table lookup operations, which are shown to be difficult to handle for some analysis, dynamic analysis tools. Finally, it's hard to define a policy for which data is sensitive. So, one strong solution is stopping using third-party Army apps and switch back to the most simple or this default Army apps that can be verified not to leaking users' input. However, this policy poor user experience and people still love third-party Army apps. As I just mentioned before, more than 680 smartphones users in China want to using third-party Army apps. So we need to find a solution that can balance the usability and the privacy. So our goal is to mitigate leaking sensitive information while preserving usability, and thus embarrassing both privacy and usability. To this end, we provide an on-demand, obligatory sandboxing approach for Army apps. Due to the fact that Army apps contains a lot of binary code and may actually transfer users' input, we instead treat the Army app as a black box. In this way, we treat each input session as a transaction. And if the input session is found to be sensitive, we just roll back the Army app apps. So this essentially makes the Army app forgot what it saw. We show that iBox works for Android, supports unmodified Army apps, have a negligible overhead and little impact on user experience. In the rest of the talk, I will first further detail the threats posed by Army apps. So the first threat is that even if the Army apps are benign, there still could be privacy leakage in the cloud side. The first reason is that a curious or malicious cloud operator may stealthily steal users' input data in cloud. Actually, there are multiple accidents shown before. And the second threat is that there currently no strong guarantees on the security of user data in cloud. This can be found by lots of privacy statement and user agreement from major cloud operators. To confirm the leakage of users' keystroke, we also perform a gray box analysis by using a man-in-the-middle package analysis. We found that a very popular Army app, TouchPair, which has been installed more than 44 million times, using a HTTP post with users' key code as argument in plain text to a cloud server. As shown in the package obtained using Wireshark, we can see that your social security number may even be sent out in plain text to the cloud server. This means that you can easily intercept the network collection in order to steal users' privacy data. We focus to confirm that it is very easy to repackage an Army app as a keylog. The finger shows that the overall architecture of Army in Android. The input service manager service is responsible for invoking Army apps. Then each Army app is collected with its client app, such as Twitter or Facebook app, using an object called input collection. So we show that it's very easy to repackage Army apps in a very straightforward way. So the approach is to simply capture the text committed by the function base input collection, and we demonstrated this by repackaging Baidu Army app and collect all users' input in plain text. To prevent Army app from leaking all users' input, we use iBox to perform on-demand oblivious sandboxing. So iBox is comprised of a kernel module, a demo in the application framework, as well as a policy engine. The iBox controls Army's state and its interaction with the external world to protect users' secrets. Accordingly, we need to assume that the application framework and the operating system kernel, as well as the client app, as trustworthy. Notice that we are not aiming at completely stopping leakage, and we may leak some partial prefix. In the following slides, I will use a running example to show you how iBox works. After our client app invoke an admin app before user's input, iBox first takes a snapshot of the current admin app's state. Then, user will start to input something. Let's assume that a user wants to type her input name is usersec 2015 to share the Wi-Fi password to her friends. So during the input, the admin app analyzes the touch by user and gets the first character called I. And iBox will record this character as well in its transaction contents. At the same time, the admin app may send each input character to the cloud server to improve user input speed and user experience. After user input three characters, iBox then found that the first three characters may be a prefix of a sensitive word called is usersec 2015, and thus may lead to potential information leakage. Hence, iBox will then conduct an on-demand isolation by blocking the network input as well as other means like IPC. Hence, users can still continue to do the input, but the admin apps cannot leak the information at this moment. After the user finishes the input session, as this input session is deemed to be sensitive, iBox will force commit all the input to the client app. So in this way, the client app is able to get all the input from the user. Then iBox will perform a rollback of the state of the admin app. In this way, any input stored and transferred by the admin app can be erased, just like the admin app never see the user's input. And also, iBox restores the network and IPC collections. Finally, the admin app can process the lax input session without iBox isolation. So while this seems intuitive, there are still several challenges, including how to determine which input session is sensitive, how to inhibit admin's app from leaking sensitive information, and how to perform network checkpoint and rollback. iBox determines whether session is sensitive using two ways. The first one is through context-based policy. If an input context is sensitive, iBox will treat the session as sensitive as well. So this can be done by determining the type of the third-party client apps. For example, if the admin apps is interacting with a bank application, when you are typing some bank account and password, so all the session will be treated as sensitive. And if an input text block is to input some sensitive data like a password, actually Android provides some means to identify the type of the text block, like whether it's a password or email address. And iBox will treat this session as input as sensitive as well. For other types of input, iBox using pre-specified policies using prefix matching. The reason is that since there is no oracle to predict what a user will type next, and we cannot do post-mortem analysis. Otherwise, the input may have already been known by and leaked by the admin app. The first issue of prefix matching policy is how to represent the policy. And the input got by iBox could be multiple language. It could be English, be Chinese, be Japanese. So iBox using UTF-8 to represent the translate keystroke in a trice-like structure to represent the policy. It also separates global and per application policies by using different trice structures. To determine whether an input session is sensitive, iBox using a term called acceptable disclosure rate. For example, with accept disclosure rate as 0.2, the three character ISU will be trigger a sensitive input session for its USSEC 2015. iBox can use in the default policy only when it can use default sensitive files like contacts or cookies to generate a default global try structure. Alternatively, user may specify sensitive data using either full text or regular expressions. And iBox will query the policy using a state machine by maintaining the input state. So this is used to defend some attacks like a prefix substitution attack. For example, the ME app may fake some keystrokes like backspace, delete, or space to confuse the iBox. So during each keystroke, iBox will query the policy and update the input state. Once iBox determines if an input session is sensitive, iBox needs to isolate the ME app from leaking input. As a malicious ME app may actually send, store, and transfer users' input, maybe like directly send out input through an encrypted collection, or transfer store input into other apps or to send it later, or even store users' input in a third-party app or service. So iBox solves this problem by restricting ME's behavior once it's determined to be sensitive. By disabling network collection, restricting IPC and the rollback ME apps to a clean state. However, checkpointing and rolling back a complex ME is not easy due to lots of states across apps, framework, and kernel, and lots of filter complex local state, and it's very hard to derive a consistent state. We observe that an ME app is essentially an event-driven application, so it passively receives users' input and reacts accordingly. So it should be mostly consistent once there's no user input. So we using an approach called quiescence point to do the checkpoint and rollback. To determine a quiescence point, iBox examines the states like a pending networking state and IPCs as well as some internal state. And a malicious ME app may not cooperate with iBox. In this case, iBox can skip to do the checkpoint if it retries several times. Actually, this could be also be evidence that these ME apps could be malicious. So the reason iBox can skip do the checkpoint is that the checkpoint in iBox is mainly used for restore and rollback or discarding entirely. So it's kind of using only checkpoint to do the restore as well. To do the checkpoint, we need to checkpoint the memory state, the file state, the multi-threading, and the IPC states. You'll find the details in the paper. We have conducted a set of evaluation to evaluate the effectiveness and efficiency of iBox. We evaluated iBox using a set of popular ME apps from a large third-party market. We first evaluated the checkpoint and rollback latency of iBox. We show that the time to do a checkpoint is less than 103 milliseconds. Actually, the world record of texting is around 163 milliseconds per character. So this means that iBox would cause low delay during the input. We use three approaches to evaluating the effectiveness of iBox from isolating ME apps. The first one is using black box testing by observing the package sent by testing the ME apps during our input session. We observe that a much less number of packages to be sent out using iBox. This suggests that iBox may have stopped the sender package from being sent out. The second approach is using Gradbox analysis of the touch pair keyboard application, which I showed before that it may send out user sensitive data out in plain text. Our Gradbox testing suggests that there is no social security number being sent out under iBox's as protection. Finally, when using the repackaged Baidu IME app for white box testing, we found that iBox completely stopped leaking top secrets like password using context-based policy and only leaky a prefix using prefix matching policy. We also conducted other evaluations like power consumption and user experience studies. Our power consumption study shows that there's very little difference during a 30-minute usage with or without iBox. This is probably because iBox introduced additional operations. It also reduced the power-hungry networking operations. The users, for the user experience study, we had no complaint about the latency issues, but we do receive two complaints. The first one is that users now need to using manually tap their account instead of using automation. The second one is that the user needs to specify their personal secrets manually, but we believe this is worthwhile for improved privacy. iBox is related to prior work on privacy leakage detection, prevention, as well as checkpoint and rollback and sandboxing. Currently, iBox is just a very first step towards this direction, and there are still several limitations, including it may be vulnerable to side channel attacks and some colluding attacks, and also some attacks to the Android permission system, and it currently cannot handle voice input. In summary, in this talk, I showed you that third-party IME apps is fun but very dangerous. We made a first systematic study on the insecurity of IME apps and describe iBox with the goal of embracing usability and privacy. So this is end of my talk, and I like to take questions. Thank you.
Hi, great work. I'm Alfred Chen from University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So I can see this can work pretty great if in the context of the app, the ME app is like communicating is kind of easy to find to be sensitive or not. But there do have some certain cases that may be hard to find. So mm-hmm. for example, like browser. So I type something in the URL bars, uh-huh. then you may not know it's sensitive or not until I finish. To make it worse, all of the browsers have the auto-complete those kind of functionality. So even if you find it sensitive after you complete them, so those kind of partial strings is still kind of can be captured by the IME app, I think.
Okay, so great question. I think like for the browser case, even if like the users type some information in the screen, so iBox can still get all the input from the user to the browser. So it can use the prefix matching policy to determine whether the input string is sensitive or not. So in this way, it may leak some like a prefix of the sensitive data. And regarding the automation features of the browser itself, I'm not quite familiar with it, but I guess that if the automation feature is enabled by the browser itself, it cannot be observed by the iBox as well as the IME app. So the IME app has no way to get the automated input as well.
So how about the autocomplete for the IME app itself?
For the IME app itself, right?
So you make contact to the cloud server and try to auto-complete some of the English words you are trying to do.
Yeah, but in this way, if you already found that the prefix is sensitive, you already stop the network collection to the cloud. So you have no way.
But first, there are some partial leakage there. So second is that if you stop in the very early age, so it may break the autocomplete functionality.
Yeah. I think this is kind of like a trade-off between the privacy and also like the user experience. If you set the acceptable disclosure rate to a very low value, there's very little chance for automation.
Sure. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Grady Clark, Rutgers University.
Thank.
Two things. I didn't know that there was a world record for texting, so that's a cool thing. Mm-hmm. And the second one is, so the users can choose their own prefix when they're entering sensitive information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you do any analysis on the types of prefixes that they chose? Did they ever just choose something like tilde before the character string or exclamation mark? I'm a bit curious about that.
Could you repeat the first one? So you just testing, right?
You're right. So what prefixes do users choose when they enter sensitive information?
Oh, okay. So this is kind of we need more, so currently they just like choosing like 3 or 4 characters like that. We don't have a very comprehensive study on this case right now.
Okay, thank you.
So how difficult do you think it will be in practice for normal users to define these lists of private data, particularly when you have, if you want to protect data that might be in a larger field, like the body of an email?
Right. I think even if you have like a larger value of email, you actually have separated into words, right? So you can define the policies using your word-based, right? So you have a password like is USSEC 2015. So you define a prefix like is ISU. This is the prefix.
Right. I guess it seems difficult in general to try to capture beforehand all of these sensitive things.
Yeah. That's right. Because this is kind of it's very difficult for users as well, because they may not aware of some particular words are sensitive or not, right? And the sensitive is kind of a very objective definition. Because today they may think this is not sensitive, and tomorrow they think it's sensitive. Yeah, so this is currently our issue, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.